Lost in thought, she failed to notice the kangaroo bound from the bush until the last second. Wrenching the wheel with a jerk, she swerved, narrowly missing an oncoming four-wheel drive utility as her car slid into the grassy table drain. She switched the ignition off, thankful that at least she hadn't hit the animal, and watched it leap away. Peering into the rear vision mirror, surprise replaced her relief. The opposing vehicle had stopped, and the driver's door was partially open. "Darn, I hope it's not a cop. Suppose I'd better apologise," she muttered to herself and climbed out before closing the door firmly behind her. Turning, she jumped with shock and pressed her back against her car. The thunderous face of the ute driver stood a bare metre away. "What the bloody hell were you thinking? Don't you know you should never swerve for wildlife, especially when there's oncoming traffic? You could have killed us both," he ranted. "What? And hit that creature? It was the size of my car." "Don't exaggerate. It was a male Eastern Grey and you wouldn't have hit it. If you'd kept your speed down, it would have either turned away or got out of your path." He pointed to the road sign behind her. "Can't you read? This is a 60 zone and you were doing at least 90. She stiffened. "Don't yell at me." "I'm not yelling at you. I'm pointing out the need for you to be wildlife aware." "I am," she began before reconsidering and closing her mouth. It had been a while since she'd checked her speed and she hadn't even noticed the sign. Meeting his eyes in a frozen stare, she tipped her chin, clamping her lips tightly, silently daring him to continue his tirade. His jaw moved as though he was about to say more, but instead he ducked his head. "Right. Well, if you're going to be travelling around this area, I suggest you take notice of your surroundings. There's a lot of bush and good farmland, a haven for wildlife." Then he gave the slightest nod, turned on his heel, and strode to his vehicle. With my gumboots on, I headed from the back veranda towards the olive grove behind the house. The ground squelched beneath my feet, and water splashed up onto my boots. A lot of rain had fallen. The olives looked good from a distance. I walked the rows, touching the trunks. They were thicker than I remembered, older and more established now. Beyond the olives was the old fruit orchard that my grandfather had kept even after they moved to olives. It was almost all apples with a few citrus. The apples had never fruited much, but I was sure that the trees would still be fine. Store apples never tasted as good. When I walked to the edge of the paddock where the orchard once was, there was only a dark, muddy field. The fruit trees were gone. I slipped through the fence and walked across the soft black dirt as rage filled my body. Someone had ripped them out and tilled the land. My grandfather had planted those trees. My brother and I had played under them. Who'd taken them down? Oh, I had a pretty good idea of who. Moments later, even the visitors in the foyer felt the boom of Peter's,
"You what?"
shaking the conference room walls upstairs.
"Peter, if you'd just listen," Cassie snapped, steel in her voice.
"I'm done listening," Peter spat, slamming the table with the flat of his hand. "You've kicked off a shitstorm of monumental proportions. You know what's going to happen next? Vicpol will knock on my door asking why one of my journalists shows up on Justin Golding's call records as one of the last people to see him alive."
He shook his head in disbelief.
"And when they realise you tried to entrap him without evidence, without clearance, it'll be me they hold responsible. My newsroom. My leadership. My fucking ass on the line."
"That isn't what we're doing," Cassie fired back.
Peter didn't blink.
"Go home, both of you. I need to call legal and get them up to speed on this bloody mess. And if you've got your own lawyer, Cassandra, I'd suggest you call them too."
Here's the truth about rock bottom. It forces you to look up. And when I looked up, I found myself face to face with three questions that would transform my entire life. Who am I? What do I stand for? What do I really want? Take a moment here. Write down your instant answers to these three questions. Don't think too hard, just let your gut respond. We'll come back to these later, and you might be surprised how your answers change. You know what's fascinating about these questions? They're so simple, yet most of us spent decades avoiding them. I did. It was easier to focus on checking those life boxes: career, relationship, future babies, picket fence, than to actually figure out what I wanted.